R. Kelly hasn't been in the news for a long time. And then, of course, the trial started and he was back in, guilty of racketeering, conspiracy, 8 other counts alleging the singer used his organization to lure and trap girls, boys, and young women to satisfy his sexually predatory desires, said the Tribune today. And they got him on the Mann Act. Isn't that kind of an interesting way to get this guy? He faces 10 years to life in prison when he's sentenced, but not until May 4th is the sentencing. The U.S. Attorney Jacqueline Kasula said today's verdict forever brands R. Kelly as a predator who used his fame and fortune to prey on young and vulnerable. 7-man, 5-woman jury found Kelly guilty of 12 individual criminal acts. The verdict marked Kelly's first criminal conviction after more than 2 decades of exploits. 1996, he had I Believe I Can Fly, and after that, even though he was in trouble at the time, sales zoomed. Jim DeRogatis has been writing about this. He's the author of Soulless, The Case Against R. Kelly. He's an associate professor of English and creative writing at Columbia College in Chicago. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. Are you surprised by the verdicts?
I'm surprised only by the fact that it took 30 years to hear those words guilty in a courtroom because, you know, it has been a failure of, especially in Chicago, our court system, our churches, our schools, most of the journalists in this city, to allow this predator to victimize so many young black girls. For 30 years, the first victim documented, it was 1991, 15-year-old Tiffany Hawkins. It's a travesty that it took this long.
And what does it say that it took the Mann Act, which isn't, I don't think it was crafted originally for crimes like this, to get him?
Well, it was. I mean, Chuck Berry went to federal prison for almost 2 years at the height of his career for transporting an underage Mexican girl across state lines for his pleasures as he toured America. You know, in terms of the racketeering trial, you know, I mean, we now have R. Kelly standing beside Al Capone as the most notorious gangster this city has ever produced. If you think that's hyperbole, you know, recognize two things here. Number one, there's never been a predator in the history of popular music with such a high profile who has been brought to justice in this way. There were 22 victims named in this trial. Those that I've reported on over the years, I know the names of 48 others. I believe the body count is in the hundreds of lives ruined by this man in full glare of the world spotlight. The other thing, John, is this is the first verdict in the Me Too era that brings justice to women of color. You know, I led my piece in The New Yorker that went up after the verdict with Tiffany Hawkins, victim number one, 15 in 1991. She and her friends who sang with Aaliyah, all of them were victimized by this man. And she had tried to bring charges under Cook County State's Attorney Jack O'Malley's office. That's how far back, 1996. They were not interested in pursuing those charges. She filed a civil lawsuit instead. And I asked her when I finally talked to her in 2019, were you disappointed? And she said, no, I mean, I was a young black girl. Who cared? You know, yesterday a jury of 11 peers showed that they cared.
Is it a bit of a red herring when Gayle King and the other interviews that took place in the last couple of years show women who were still trying to be part of his inner circle, who were saying, no, we want to be with R. Kelly?
Well, one of those women testified at the trial and said that she was untruthful in that interview because she was still being brainwashed by Kelly. The other young woman who sat with Gayle King in Chicago, let's remind people, is still brainwashed by Kelly, according to her family. They've had zero contact with her for 5 years. You know, the first time a young woman from the Chicago suburbs said to me, he's like Charles Manson. I thought it was hyperbole, John. And then I kept hearing that again and again and again in terms of brainwashing. The technical term that the prosecution heard on stage was psychological manipulation and entrapment. You know, look, I think we're only beginning to wrap our heads around what a big story this was for so long.
That's the R. Kelly story, Jim DeRogatis. I'm sorry, Jim, I didn't see your piece. It's in the New Yorker. If I go online, I'll catch it there. Huh?
NewYorker.com. I did a weekly column, six of them, throughout the trial, trying to tell the stories behind the stories, John. There are many. There is the Chicago attorney who enabled his behavior by taking money instead of, you know, bringing this to the criminal courts. I'm waiting for somebody to follow up. Police officer Larry Hood, who worked security for this man, and said so did many other police officers.
Let's do this then. I'm going to read that. Let me catch up with you later this week, Jim. I'm out of time today, but
of course,
can you tell me those stories later this week, okay?
Yeah, of course. Chicago has to answer, John.
That's Jim DeRogatis in the New Yorker.